Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about Northwestern Energy, why Kalispell Regional Healthcare was fined $65,000 this summer, and challenges for Crow women in receiving reproductive healthcare. It's Friday, November 15th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. A debate between Montana Republican gubernatorial contenders is moving forward in Helena, despite the absence of one of the candidates. Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates Carney reports.
Carroll College announced Thursday will hold the first GOP primary debate in the governor's race later this month. Two of the three Republican candidates are expected to attend, Attorney General Tim Fox and State Senator Albert Olszewski. The Lewis and Clark County Republican Central Committee backed out of sponsoring the debate after U.S. Representative Greg Gianforte said he couldn't make it during Thanksgiving week. The Carroll College debate, scheduled for November 26th, is expected to focus on themes related to jobs and the economy. Three Republicans and four Democrats are campaigning to win their respective party's primary race to fill the job currently held by Governor Steve Bullock. Bullock is in his final term in office and can't seek re-election. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio News.
Governor Steve Bullock will again miss the debate stage in his bid for the Democratic presidential nomination. The Democratic National Committee yesterday announced the invite list to the party's fifth debate. The 10-candidate debate scheduled for broadcast on MSNBC on November 20th will take place in Atlanta, Georgia. Bullock met the DNC's required polling and fundraising thresholds to appear in the second debate in July. It's been his only showing in the nationally televised debates. Bullock continues to focus campaign efforts in Iowa. A moose has tested positive for chronic wasting disease for the first time in Montana. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports the finding expands the area wildlife managers believed the disease to exist.
The moose was killed north of Troy, just half of a mile outside of the Libby CWD management zone, which spans a 10-mile radius around Libby. 30 white-tailed deer have tested positive for CWD within the management zone since the disease was discovered this spring. CWD can infect deer, elk, and moose. Whitetails are easily impacted because they're social animals. CWD can quickly spread through herds via contact, feces, and urine, but moose are relatively solitary animals. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks spokesperson Dylan Tabish.
It is surprising. It's unfortunate news, but the silver lining is that moose are solitary animals. They don't socialize with deer and elk. They even don't socialize amongst themselves very often.
Tabish says that means the animal was less likely to have spread the prions or misfolded proteins that cause the fatal disease directly to other servants. He says it's hard to say how this moose contracted the disease.
But it could have occurred from sticking its nose in a deer carcass that was infected. It could have stuck its nose or shared a water source where there was a dead carcass in the water source, and that was carrying the prions that have CWD.
FWP hopes to collect samples from 400 hunter-harvested and trapped white-tailed deer inside of the Libby management zone in order to understand prevalence. FWP expects to have the full results early next year, which will guide future management actions. The agency is also sampling mule deer, elk, and moose taken in the management zone and is encouraging hunters harvesting animals nearby to voluntarily submit samples. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
Northwestern Energy is asking state utility regulators to sign off on the company's request to increase their customers' electric bills by $23.8 million for 1 year. As Nikki Ouellette reports, this surcharge is in addition to a $6.5 million rate increase commissioners approved late last month.
Northwestern says the additional $23.8 million is needed to cover costs the company incurred when it bought electricity on the open market in 2018. This was while Colstrip Unit 4 was shut down due to air pollution violations. In order to pass that cost on to customers, Northwestern needs approval from the Montana Public Service Commission. At a legislative consumer committee hearing Thursday, Robert Nelson with the Montana Consumer Council called that period a perfect storm that led to unusually high prices on the open market.
Gas pipeline was out due to an explosion on that pipeline at the same time as scheduled maintenance was going on in California that blocked any transmission up into the Northwest. There was something else that was occurring, and that caused the market prices to really increase for a period of a couple of days.
In written testimony submitted to the PSC in September, Northwestern's Director of Energy Supply Market Operations, Kevin Markovich, wrote the total cost of the 220,000 megawatt hours the company bought between July 2018 through the end of June was more than $25 million higher than if the Colstrip unit had stayed open. Northwestern customers began paying the increased interim rate on October 1st. A typical residential customer will see an average increase of about $3 on their bill. Customers will be refunded if the PSC doesn't approve the increase. The Montana Consumer Council and the Montana Environmental Information Center last week filed to intervene in the case. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Nikki Ouellette.
The Montana Department of Environmental Quality is seeking public comment on a proposal to remediate pollution from wastewater facilities at Units 1 and 2 of the Colstrip Steam Electric Station. Colstrip operator Talon Energy is required to address groundwater contamination from leaking coal ash ponds, along with the storage ponds themselves. In its report, Talon proposes to flush and capture contaminated groundwater and drain and cap the Stage 2 ponds. Members of Northern Plains Resource Council dispute the solutions suggested in the report, saying Colstrip's ash ponds have been in direct contact with and polluting groundwater for decades. Northern Plains has proposed Talon excavate the coal ash to newly constructed landfills. DEQ will accept public comment on the report through December 14th. The agency expects to issue conditional approval by the end of the year. Colstrip Units 1 and 2 are slated to shut down later this year. For more information about the report and how to submit comments, you can go to our website, ypradio.org. Kalispell Regional Healthcare was fined $65,000 this summer for failing to comply with training requirements outlined in an agreement with federal authorities. The agreement followed a $24 million settlement in 2018 that ended a lawsuit claiming the hospital violated anti-kickback laws. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton explains.
After KRH settled the lawsuit last year, it entered into what's known as a Corporate Integrity Agreement, or CIA, in December with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Inspector General's Office. The five-year agreement essentially outlines how KRH will work with the office to make sure its employees and board members are complying with federal laws. As part of the agreement, board members and select employees were required to take training on federal anti-kickback laws and other related regulations. But according to a letter sent by the Inspector General's Office this August, KRH, quote, falsely certified that all of its board members had received the training within the 90-day period following the Corporate Integrity Agreement's effective date. KRH's failure to comply with the agreement was first reported by the Daily Interlake. KRH spokesperson Melody Sharpton.
KRH contacted the OIG in mid-July to self-report that we had discovered a particular educational session had not been conducted within their required 90-day time frame.
Six board members didn't complete the training until July 2nd. KRH has paid the $65,000 fine for failing to comply with its CIA. The hospital says it's continuing to work through the compliance steps outlined in the agreement, which includes an independent review of those activities. The organization conducting the review made its first on-site visit in September. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
Crow women face long wait times, drives, and confidentiality concerns when it comes to receiving reproductive health care. That's according to a report from the Kaiser Family Foundation released yesterday. Olivia Reingold reports.
If you're a woman on the Crow Reservation trying to get prenatal care or an abortion, your only option might be a trip to a Billings provider, and your only option to get there might be to take the Crow Nation transit bus from Crow Agency or Hardin.
Do you remember what time it leaves at?
That shuttle leaves at 6 in the morning.
Michelle Long, one of the Washington, D.C.-based researchers who worked on the Kaiser Family Foundation study, says lack of transportation in a place that can be an hour drive from the nearest healthcare provider is just one of the challenges she found during her research on the reservation this summer. Most of the tribal nation is located in Bighorn County, an area that's been federally designated as medically underserved. The teen birth rate is the highest in the state at 85 births per 1,000. That's more than three times the state average. But there's no facility on the reservation that provides labor and delivery services. Prenatal women are transferred to Billings for care after 30 weeks, according to the report. The Indian Health Service provides a wide range of services at its hospital and two clinics on the Crow Reservation, including oral contraceptives and STI testing and treatment, but does not provide sterilization or abortion. The report, which also studied four other medically underserved communities across the U.S., says understaffing at the IHS facilities and cultural attitudes towards sex and abortion are some of the factors barring access to reproductive health care. Long again.
The clinic there face challenges with recruiting and retaining providers.
The report says that the Crow Agency IHS service unit employs one OBGYN and one midwife. That's it for family planning providers in the community of about 7,000. It mentions turnover as a challenge and says IHS is in the process of building housing across the service unit to attract more talent. IHS says it continues to recruit and hire qualified medical professionals who help enhance labor, delivery, and gynecological services with the Crow Service Unit. It says it's exploring ways to expand labor and delivery services at the Crow Service Unit. Long says focus group participants told her that culturally sensitive care is the most urgent need on the reservation. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Olivia Reingold.
Olivia Reingold is Yellowstone Public Radio's Report for America Corps member. And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds Monday morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.